Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Once again, it's indeed a pleasure to welcome to our program the incredibly talented, good-looking, and all-around nice guy, George Marshall is here. Welcome back to the show, George.
Great to be back, Mike.
Nice to have you with us once again. George, of course, is the executive director of Flickers, or the Rhode Island International Film Festival, as it celebrates its 24th season. And some events coming up this week that we want to talk about, hopefully, as we say. George and I are socially distanced by probably 15 or 20 miles, because George is in his lovely home in Newport and I'm here in the studio in Exeter, and we are Zooming each other, but hopefully the sound, you'll forgive us, is going to be a little echoey because of the Zoom situation, but we'll work it out. And want to talk about Flickers and the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and opening night is tomorrow, right, George?
Yes, it is. It's actually a preview at Musquamicket. Fingers crossed, weather permitting. Storm front looks like it may or may not come. It could be late evening, early morning. We're not sure. But might be nothing. You never know. In New England, things change all the time. But because we can't do a normal schedule this year because of COVID-19 and social distancing, we decided to do a hybrid event. And the hybrid event includes some drive-in screenings at Musquamicket by the beach, and then at the Rustic Drive-In up in North Smithfield. So we're excited by that. So our opening night will be there. We're using all three screens at the Rustic. But again, because of social distancing, the screening itself will be like every other car length or every car space people will be able to park. So about 50% of what they normally would have for capacity. But the fact we're actually doing it for people and it's been proven safe, that's a big deal for us. The rest of the stuff is going to be online, and most of it will be free. There will be a couple paywalls that we have to put in for folks because of geo-blocking, a term we never even knew existed until we got into...
What is geo-blocking? What is that?
Geo-blocking is if someone has a film and they're in Italy, Japan, or Spain, and they don't want people to see it in other countries, we actually have to restrict it solely to the United States. So you can't come in online and try to watch the film if you're in Spain, for example.
I see.
So it's something we had to explore. And frankly, it took a little bit of research to pull all this together and come up with the best option. And then we decided, because this is such a weird time economically and financially and emotionally for people, that we're going to try to keep it as reasonable as possible. So what we're doing is the blocks that we have that will be geo-blocked, the programming, will be only $2. We figure that's not that expensive and something that people would normally pay for online without blinking an eye, hopefully. And then there'll be you can get the whole code for like $15 and watch all the geo-blocked films. Other than that, everything else will be free. So it'll be about 270 films. Plus, there'll be webinars. There'll be conversations. There's a bunch of other stuff that'll be happening. So every day, there'll be activities starting on Monday. And we'll go through the following Sunday. And the deal we have with our filmmakers, because there's a lot of world premieres and North American premieres in our packaging, we'll run each title for 7 days, giving people the option to actually watch the festival online over a 7-day period. But because we're running it synchronously, say, for example, on Tuesday, the film will go up on Tuesday, be available for viewing on Tuesday, and will stay online for a week for 7 days. And okay. That goes throughout the entire festival. So everything will have a 7-day run, and then it will all disappear.
And we want to make sure everyone has the address. It's very simple, rifilmfest, F-E-S-T, .org. So rifilmfest dot org. And go there and you get all the information and what's happening, when. This is a huge project, George. I want to get into it a little bit more, but let's get to a piece of music. And what have you selected for us today?
Well, I thought, given where everybody is emotionally, instead of doing something that's too heavy, I decided to pick one composer today, and the composer's name is Dave Grusin. Now, we did a documentary at the festival last year about him. His work, you probably know from a lot of stuff in the 1980s, but it's very up-tempo, it's jazz-oriented, and it's just something that makes you feel good. So the very first piece that we're going to be presenting is from a film that starred Henry Fonda, his daughter Jane Fonda, and Katharine Hepburn, an Academy Award winner, On Golden Pond.
I love that one.
I think it's perfect for this summer. So this is the title theme, or the title music cue, from On Golden Pond by Dave Grusin.
Thank you.
On Golden Pond, a great movie, a memorable one, one of those that a lot of people have in the back of their heads and say, oh, I remember that. However, I don't know that that's one of those movies you see on HBO or any of the movie channels. I haven't seen it in years.
So, I haven't seen it in years either, to be honest with you. I actually have, the film festival has a 16mm print of it, which we haven't shown in years, but when the old days when we were doing film screen, using film as a medium, we actually were able to acquire a copy of it. And it's something that, you know, with licensing and stuff like that, that we've just kept in our archives.
Yeah.
Times have changed. I mean, consider how many different formats people have gone through, from 35mm and 16, those are pretty much archaic. And now we're dealing with digital projection. All the tapes that we used years ago are gone. Everything can be on a thumb drive right now, which is pretty amazing.
It is amazing. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, of my generation are mean, they're like, what do you mean the whole movie is digital? It's hard to perceive.
Well, I figure, you know, again, with the changes that we're going through right now, doing up-tempo music was the way to go. And with our festival, we tried to, this year, pull together enough films that leave you with a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff out there, to be honest with you. People have been, and their films are reacting to the world around them. We actually set up a COVID-19 category, and it's been amazing for the people to be able to produce work during this time frame, because a lot of people were in shutdown across the globe. Except if you're in Japan, which continued doing business, and they just officially reopened, which is kind of interesting because they were able to require masks for everybody, and they were able to damp down the numbers. I believe overall in Japan, with 146 million people, they only had about 900 deaths. Not that that's good, but that is pretty decent compared to what situation is across the globe.
Right.
New Zealand, of course, with 4 million people, that's where films are being shot right now. They're back to normal. They're holding games and everything in stadiums simply because they were able to contain the virus and keep everything out.
But they are being pretty strict. I have a one of my best friends is spends 6 months of the year in Arizona and 6 months in New Zealand. They own a winery down there.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And boy, it's tough to get. He's out, but he can't get his wife out. So it's amazing.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know, it's a different world we're living in right now. And hopefully, you know, whatever the new normal is going to be, we'll adapt to it safely. And, you know, the deaths will be mitigated. I think that's the big deal right now, is to keep people healthy and safe.
Right. Till the vaccine comes along. All right.
Exactly.
What do we have next?
The next piece is from a film, which was a remake. Starring Warren Beatty, and the film is called Heaven Can Wait.
A nice segue for what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't intentional. But this is just such a nice solo piece for soprano sax, and I think it's got a dreamlike quality.
Thank you. Another memorable movie, Heaven Can Wait. Now we're going to go to one. I don't know what this is about.
This one is actually from what has become a classic piece starring Dustin Hoffman. And the film was called Tootsie.
Oh.
We know this music primarily because it became a hit song by Stephen Bishop. And what you're going to be listening to is actually a piano and string orchestra rendition of it. The title for it is It Might Be You.
All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of George Marshall and the Rhode Island International Film Festival.
Thank you.
Rhode Island International Film Festival is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversation. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall, the executive director of Flickrs. And George, some people have asked me over a period of time, since you've been on for many years with me, what's the difference between Flickrs and the Rhode Island International Film Festival?
Good question. Flickrs is actually the nonprofit organization that started 39 years ago, as of November, 39 years. And then Flickrs creates a lot of different events.
Was that started by your grandfather?
I hate to say it. I was the one that started it. I was a little bit younger then. I started that in 1981.
Wow.
After several years of trying to, I brainstorming and coming up with something that would reflect my passion for film. And at that time, we were changing landscapes as far as being able to see art and foreign films. You couldn't actually see a lot of this stuff that I was comfortable with and knew growing up in the state. Some of our theaters were closing. We had the, Avon was doing double bill, a repertory theater. Cable car had switched to more contemporary second run films. And then we did have an art house, and that used to be on Hope Street. They closed down. There was one over in Midland Mall, if you remember Midland Mall, mm-hmm. now retitled. They had one and closed down. So if you wanted to see art or foreign films, you had to go to Boston and New York. So that was kind of the foundation for this. And it really began with a bunch of friends renting movies on 16 millimeter and then showing them as dinner parties. And just grew from more and more people coming in until finally we ended up with a membership base. And by 1984, we had our first major screenings at the then named Van Allen Casino Theater. Which is, of course, part of the Tennis Hall of Fame complex. It's now called the Casino Theater. It's been totally restored. But at that time, they were also trying to do summer stock at that building. And they had done some renovations, making it usable. It had no air conditioning. It was so-called air-cooled, which means you open the doors. Hopefully, it didn't affect the screening. So we had a screen there. We had 16 millimeter portable projectors. We ran the reels continuously. We had decent sound for that. And it was 439 seats with little gold chairs on the balcony. We did good business, enough to keep us moving and alive. But the most memorable experience for me that came from that was the night the bat flew in.
The name of a movie.
Oh God. We were showing the film Das Boot, which was a German submarine adventure.
Remember it well. Yeah.
And of course we had the doors open on the balcony, letting air coming in, and where it was situated, you didn't get a lot of light. So it didn't really it didn't affect the screen, but a bat flew in. And so there's a sequence where the U-boat is in the water and it's tumultuous, and then you see the shadow on the screen, and the shadow on the screen was the bat flying through the light frame, the light source from the projector. That was an interesting evening, to say the least. But I remember that because we had patrons running out saying, there's a bat in here. We thought we got rid of it, but it made an appearance during Meet Me in St. Louis and the summer stock later that season. I can honestly tell you without equivocation that it has always been an adventure with this business and with this organization. So Flickrs started everything. It was Flickrs, the Newport Film Society. That's its actual legal name. And then the film festival came in 24 years ago. And our big event, the second year, was the screening of There's Something About Mary with the Farrelly Brothers up at the Stadium Theater up in Woonsocket. We worked with them for about a year to bring that to fruition. And that was our second year of the film festival. So... it's been an interesting adventure from the time we started to the fact we are now an Academy qualifier in short films. We've had 72 films nominated out of the festival. We've had 11 wins. We're a discovery portal. We've got a decent international reputation to the point that we matter. We're a portal for discovery. We had over 6,000 entries this year, which is not a small feat. And we've had people all over the globe managing those films and adjudicating them to give us what we actually will be showing during this festival this year. And about 240 or so films. We're just still getting films in, believe it or not, for next week. But this is unusual. This is a weird year. I mean, most of this stuff for us is done months in advance. And because of the COVID-19, we're reacting as proactively as we can to make this event a reality. And as you know, so many organizations have just closed shop, are waiting for this thing to end. We did not want to do that to the filmmakers. We wanted to have some sort of platform for them. I guess the word is adventure. I'm overusing that word, but that is the best way for us with the journey that we're taking.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to bring us up to date, and the festival is starting this week, and so it's difficult for us to squeeze some time out of you, but we're glad you're obliging us, and let's talk about this.
It's always a pleasure, Mike.
Well, thank you. This next piece, New Hampshire Hornpipe.
Yes, it's actually something that came out of On Golden Pond. It literally is played in a sequence on the pond itself, on the lake. And it's just a high energy piece. And it shows a young boy operating a powerboat and the pure joy of having that power and that capability. And so it's a sense of freedom and exuberance. And the music propels that and gives you a sense of a young man's dream. So I think that's a good explanation of New Hampshire Hornpipe.
Thank you.
George, let's try to squeeze one more piece of music in before we take our next break. What do you have?
Well, the piece is from The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, starring a very young Alan Arkin. It's based on a Carson McCullough book. I saw the film actually in the 1970s, when I was in high school. And I just remember it stuck with me. And it's a really telling piece. It was done with for orchestration and solo piano. I just think it's rather haunting, and I think it's just very compelling. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
the Rhode Island International Film Festival. With George Marshall as my guest, I'm Mike Mano, and we've been having a pleasant evening listening to some familiar music, although it may not be on tip of everyone's tongue. You're certainly bringing back some memories, as usual, George, and that's going to continue. But before we get to the music, I just want to go over the highlights of what's coming this week. You want to give us a quick rundown?
Sure. Monday, we will be at Misquamica because they run rain or shine, rain or sunset, too. We will be at the Misquamica Beach for a drive-in movie experience as a preview to the festival. And that is, again, you can buy tickets online. You do have to buy everything in advance for drive-ins right now. So no one's exchanging money. That's at 8 o'clock, Misquamica. Tuesday, Rustic Drive-In, 8 o'clock. Tickets are online. And Thursday night, we're back at the Rustic for another outdoor screening. The rest of the festival will be online, a combination of almost everything free. I'd say about 90% is going to be free. And then the other stuff will be available through a paywall at $2 per package. So we will have several hundred films available for folks online, plus other programming, interviews, you name it. It's going to be a full-looking schedule, including an awards program, a virtual awards program on Sunday. All of this will be at www.rifilmfest.org.
All right. All the information is there, rifilmfest.org. Check it out and support what's going on. We're trying to do the best to support the filmmakers and the organizations as they're all having a tough time right now. So do your part and chip in and maybe even get there. A lot of people haven't been to a drive-in in a lot of years.
Oh, I know. It's amazing how drive-ins have actually saved movies for the summer.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to another piece of music now.
Well, this is from The Champ, and this was an interesting piece with John Voight, and the piece we're going to be listening to was played against an early morning opening at a racetrack. There's kind of an operatic feel to it. This is the title theme, and again, this is Dave Grusin.
Thank you.
George, once again, I want to thank you for coming on, conducting conversations tonight, and bringing the information about the film festival to our audience. One more time, a little quick rundown. Things are available to be read right online at rifilmfest.org, and runs all week long, right?
Exactly. So there'll be preview material up on Monday. The schedule will be online right now. And you can actually scroll through it. There'll be constant changes, too, because we'll be adding new components with speaking gigs and stuff like that.
Amazing. So we have time for one more piece of music. What do you have for us now?
Well, this, I think, is a good way to end. This is from the film The Goonies, which most people remember, of a certain age. This is called the Fratelli Chase, and it deals with the family. It's kind of a Keystone Cops-type sequence. It's a quasi-classical feel to a piece of fluff and nonsense. And honestly, what better way to deal with this summer but to realize it's all fluff and nonsense and just smile and move forward.
Keep smiling. Thank you, George. Great to see you on our Zoom and hopefully down the road back here in our studios. Good luck next week with the Rhode Island International Film Festival Flickr's 24th season. Thanks, George.
Thank you so much. Stay well and stay safe. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun.
Robert's Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.